Hey, everybody, welcome back to another episode of Built Like This podcast. I'm your host, Maxine, and we're on episode 293. Welcome. Hello, hello, hello. Hi. Hope you all are doing well. Monique, I am not actually surprised about this interview. And didn't I talk about it last episode? I said how I saw a preview of this interview to come or this conversation to come. And here we are. So that wasn't a spoof. That was an actual preview. And we've experienced it. A lot of the things that she said, I am fully aware of because I've listened to her and watched her over the years, and her story has always been consistent. Monique has always been consistent. I love her. I really do. I love her ever since the Parkers. Ever since the Parkers, okay? It goes back for me. I feel like Monique touches a part of my childhood. Like, she is a nostalgic figure in my childhood, for real, for real, for real. So I am and have been always standing by her. I support her. I wish her well. Now, let's be honest here, though. I do want to talk about something real quick because it's been rumored that she is on tour or will be on tour with Cat Williams, which is very fitting, right? Considering that they both went on Club Shay Shay and they both let the hammers out. I think they're a great match. It should be good. Monique does typically make me laugh. She does. She does. Don't get me wrong. But I think sometimes with comedians, not every special is a hit. Unfortunately, not every joke is a hit. Not every stand-up is a hit. And there'll be some bits in which it's not as funny or entertaining as the other. And that's it. Just is what it is. But with that being said, her last special on Netflix, I didn't really care too much about, to be honest. I felt like something about her cussing a lot, and maybe it's the prudish in me, which is so funny, but I just don't like too much cussing when it comes to comedy or just when it comes to communication overall. Like, why is everything you got to say a MF-er? It's just not the way I communicate. That doesn't take away from her funny. I think she still is funny and capable of being funny in any capacity. It's just that last special just didn't do it for me. But I've seen her so many great examples of good specials, good work. Like, she's a funny lady. That don't ever get that twisted. So anyway, Monique appeared on Club Shay Shay. Shout out to Shannon Sharp. I think his platform is now going to be a platform where you lay out your grievances. I think he has just kind of set that tone, or Cat Williams set that tone for this year. I know Club Shay Shay has been around since last year. I don't know how old this podcast, I know it's fairly recent. It's fairly recent, it's fairly new. So there's that. But I feel like with this podcast, now that Cat Williams has done what he's done, the tone for this podcast for Club Shay Shay is totally gonna be focused on how can I get my shit off. You know, let me go on Club Shay Shay and tell my truth. Skip. Who's gonna skip? So that's what I feel like will happen. I just saw a video on X of Maya the singer. Y'all know her from, oh my gosh, why can't I think of her songs right now? Hold on. X, that X song. Ciao, hold up. Maya songs. Well, my love is like, woo. It's all about me, cause I'll be moving on. Best of me, best of. She has a lot of hits. She is very talented. She's a great singer, dancer, and as I've been learning for the past couple of weeks now, she is very, and I hate to say the word woke, but I can't think of another word right now, but she's very in tune. Let's say that. She's very in tune with herself. She is someone whose identity is not defined by society, by her fans per se. She defines who she is. She believes in a creator. I don't know if she's like a Christian per se, but it's obvious just from how she communicates. It's obvious that she's someone who really believes that there's a greater picture, there's a greater scheme to everything, and right now is not like we're not always in this reality type of thing. I think she's very enlightened. I really appreciate how she communicates and how she has a great head on her shoulders. I think that's very admirable. So I came across this video of her. She was being interviewed by Vlad. A lot of people go on Vlad to kind of get their rocks off too. But anyway, in this interview, she is talking about how, what she say? She's talking about how she basically got blackballed. She got blackballed in the industry, and she doesn't give a F. She doesn't give a F about it. She is someone who all of these accolades that we give celebrities, a lot of it gets to people's heads. A lot of it makes people feel like that is their value, that is their worth, and that's that. Yet with Maya, it's clear that her identity is defined by herself, is not defined by her length of career or the relevancy of it all. She has a gift and she has shown us her gift. And I think that is what she finds to be the most precious thing of it all. So I really find that to be very admirable. So I'm gonna go ahead and play this quick clip of her talking about the industry and how it's something where you may find yourself having to compromise your morals, and some people are for it and some people are not.
What did you say? So guarded within your career.
This is what I did. I said, no, I'm good. Thank you. No, thank you. Okay, so sometimes that doesn't translate as far as what you are allowed to have, what you have access to. You will be blackballed. You will be talked about. You will be shitted on. You will be rumored about. But you have to stand strong on what you don't care for. It's not that serious to me, you know, if I have to sell my soul. And people will still try to manipulate, you know, the perception of you regardless. But
What did you say? So
So yes, there you have it. She is someone who is standing on principle and morale and her own identity. I think that is so dope. When I see examples of that, I definitely want to take time to give reverence to such behavior because we only see, or we typically see, the opposite, right? We see the ones who will do anything to sell their souls, who would compromise their body, their safety, their identity. The list goes on just to make it, just to have that fame, just to have that Oscar, just to have it, have that, and have that money over and over. Give me more, give me more, give me more. That's the thing about greed. Greed is never ending. You're always going to want more. And you think that when you get this point in your greed goal, you are good. Oh, I'm good. Once I got that, oh, wait, but I want, oh, that looks good. Oh, I want that, right? So it keeps on going. So just imagine being someone in the industry and you're exposed to different things and different resources and all you gotta do is let me fuck you from the ass, right? Let me just hit you from behind. Let me just hit you from behind. So anyway, I say all that to say, shout out to Maya for standing 10 toes down in who she is. And let's go ahead and get back to Monique. Now, Monique has made definitely interesting comments throughout this interview with, or this conversation, I should say, with Club Shay Shay or Shannon Sharp. And before we even get into that, can we talk about Shannon Sharp? Where is he from? Ooh, I think he's from Alabama. Where is this man from? Because my goodness, his accent is thick. Thick, thick, thick. Wait, you're lying. He's just from Chicago? You're lying. I don't know any Chicagoans. Is that what y'all call Chicagoans? Sound like him. He can't be from Chicago. Maybe he was just born there, but he was raised somewhere else. Because I could have sworn he's from Alabama. There we go. There we go. Okay, so according to Wikipedia, he grew up in Glenville, Georgia. Okay, that's enough for me. There we go. So he went to school in Georgia. He went to Glenville High School. He said, as a quote, that we were so poor, a robber once broke into our house and ended up robbing the and we ended up robbing the robber. That's too funny. Yeah, so he's from Georgia. Okay, there we have it. About to say Chicago. Google got it wrong. They got to update that. That's weird. I don't know why they said that. But anyway, so he is from Georgia, and he has a thick-ass accent. Do you hear me? Ooh, Lord. And I think for the past few years now, I've been deconstructing my thoughts around how one should communicate and trying to come to terms with that has been a little difficult. Being that I am someone who works in the education field, I am someone who has a degree in English literature, and I have a love that I developed or just naturally have for the English language, or just communication, really, using the English language. Like, I love grammar and like corny stuff like that. I love stuff like that. I love it. It has been an interesting time trying to come to terms with the fact that you don't have to speak one way to be right. Like, who are we to say, oh, if you don't speak with this type of articulation, then you're unintelligent or you're just incapable of moving forward in your life because you don't speak in a particular way? So that's something that I'm still working on. I know I just literally just joked about, come on, skip. It's a joke. It's a joke. But he still obviously is successful. He obviously does know how to communicate well enough, at least, to have a podcast in which he's having conversations. And prior to him having his own platform, he was a co-host. So he's been having conversations and communicating with people for quite some time within his career. So anyway, I say all this to say, I'm noticing a trend. It's not just me who's doing this, but I'm noticing some people are now deconstructing what it looks like to communicate intelligently or communicate in a way that is acceptable in our society. Because who's to say, oh, someone with a fat tongue, because I think that's what Shannon Sharp has. I think he has a fat tongue. And that's okay. I mean, he has children, so I'm sure that fat tongue was effective during that process, okay? But anyway, it really is interesting. It's really, I just like, you know, when you just pay attention to people, you just get to know them or just observe them and how they speak, how they behave, and just how they communicate overall. The way he communicates is just so fascinating to me. Like, when he was talking to Monique, he was yelling. You notice that? But he wasn't trying to be aggressive or anything. I didn't take it as being aggressive. I just take it as he was someone who, I think it takes a lot to get a sentence out. So like, he he uses his jaw a lot. Like, he'll do that. And you can see the veins in his neck pop out more. Like, he's very intense when he speaks. And it's like, nigga, calm down. But again, I mean, who am I to tell you to calm down or to speak a certain way? Yes, I have my educational background and, you know, my professional background. But nonetheless, I think we are slowly but surely moving into a space in our society in which we're accepting different types of speech. Now, I do have a stutter myself, but I think there's varying degrees of stuttering. You know, if your stutter is so bad, like I remember growing up, I learned about James Earl Jones and how he wasn't always this great orator as we know him today. And as we've known him for quite some time. During his childhood, he struggled a lot with his speech. He stuttered so poorly that it was hard to string a sentence together. It was really, really bad. And I think eventually he just, I think he got some classes and was very intentional about getting rid of that stutter. So much so that you can't even tell that this man ever struggled with a stutter. Is James Earl Jones still alive? James Earl. Wasn't he in Star Wars? Oh, wow, he is still here. God bless him. 93 years old. He actually looks good. If this is a recent picture, this is not bad. But yeah, he, wow. To be born in 1931? Ooh, Lord. That's a long time ago. That's a long time ago. But yeah, so anyway, I say all this to say, Shannon Sharp, come on. It's like he has cotton. I don't know if he got cotton in his mouth. Obviously not literally, but like, there's something, I'm curious about stuff like that. You know, like, is there something in his mouth that was already there, like just biologically in his makeup, that is the reason why he speaks the way he does? So yeah, Shannon Sharp has an interesting way of communicating. I'm not saying the way he communicates is wrong or right, nonetheless, but it was just wild to watch him just stretch out his whole neck to say a sentence. Like, sir, what? Relax. Can you relax? Okay, so Monique discusses Oprah. Now, you know, Oprah and Monique have been feuding for years since Precious. Precious came out. Let's talk about Precious. Hold on. Precious. Ooh, 09. Yep. Ooh, Lord. Even just saying the name of the movie. Hey. Precious was a lot. Precious was a lot. I feel like, I think it's triggering. It's triggering for a number of reasons. Obviously, the movie, if you haven't seen it, but if you've seen trailers, it's about sexual abuse within the family. And how the one who is supposed to be your provider, your protector, is the one who's responsible for your abuse. So I don't think it was necessarily based on a true movie. I can't remember if it was. I'm trying to see. But I remember watching it. And I was just so taken aback. I watched it in 09. I was 18 or 17, depending on the year. I mean, depending on the month. But I remember watching it with my family, well, my cousins and my sister, because we will always go to the movies together and watch whatever movie is out that seems to be like a good movie. So Precious was the movie that we went to go see together. I remember sitting in that movie theater and I was like, my God, today. My God today. And it's actually based on the book Push by Sapphire. who is a Black author. And I remember her books when I was younger. They were very intense as well. Obviously, the movie's based off of the book. And it may be a true story, like to the T. I'm not sure exactly, but obviously it has a lot of true elements, if not every true element. A lot of people have experience with this, unfortunately, maybe not a lot, but there are some people in the world who has experienced sexual abuse. But let me just go ahead and read the synopsis of the movie. Precious is about a 16-year-old girl named Precious who is overweight, and she is pregnant by her own father for the second time. Yes. She can't read nor write and is also constantly suffering from abuse at the hands of her vicious mother, who is played by Monique. Just that sentence, y'all. It took me a lot to even write that down. To say that. But that's what it is, okay? So it's a lot of heavy and hard to swallow content that now that I'm older, I wonder if this was a good film to be given the recognition that it was. Now, granted, sure, awareness. You are now being aware of abuse and what to look out for and how to help. And it does become a success story, ultimately, because, spoiler alert, she does learn eventually how to read and write, and she does figure out how to get out of the home life that she was suffering in. So that's great. But still, you know, with movies like this, The Color Purple, it's just so heavy, and it's dominated by Black actors. Okay? These Black actors are the ones pushing this movie forward and being the face of such trauma, of such disturbing images. I think about the consciousness of our society and the consciousness of Black people in America in particular, and how for years upon years upon years, we are shown images of us that is downtrodden, that is wrecked, that is poor, woe is me, abused, victim. Just this victim consciousness that I am so aware of for the last few years. And now that I've only watched the movie once, I kind of want to watch it again now. I kind of want to watch it again just for like research purposes. But I just think about the reason behind it, right? We are powerful people as Black people. I'm not saying this as, you know, not everyone listening to this is Black necessarily, right? I welcome all listeners. Hello, welcome. At this point, if you are entertained, if you are enjoying this episode, please make sure you are liking this video on YouTube, you are subscribed to the YouTube channel, and you are leaving a positive review on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Thank you so much. This is an independent podcast, but it is supported by you guys. And I also have one person who is working for me. He's my content manager, so shout out to him. But yeah, this is a small company, a small business so far. Anyway, I say all this to say support. That is your way of supporting me. Moving forward, so Precious is a harsh film to watch and digest, which is why I haven't watched it since I watched it the first time, which was in 2009. It's 2024. And that says a lot. Okay, so Monique played the mother, and she played a phenomenal, she did a great job. Okay, she really owned that role, that character, and she owned it because she understood it on an intimate level. She really could tap in to the abuser mindset for some reason, because she was a victim of abuse herself. And I guess through some research or just observing behavior from her abuser, which was her brother, she was able to tap into that and use that as a way to prepare and execute this role. And that she did. That she did. Monique definitely deserved the Oscar that she got for this role. She did an amazing job. With that being said, obviously, it is a role that is harsh to relive. And she is someone who doesn't like, we don't have to keep on going about talking about this too much. Like, I did it for a job. I did my contractual hours and I'm done. But because Hollywood is Hollywood and you still kind of not have to, but the expectation is very strong. It's very encouraged, if not coerced, to play by the book and continue with promotions, even if you're not getting paid for such promotion. Monique said on several occasions that I don't work for free. You know, I'm going to complete my contract and the obligations for said contract. But once the time period is done, I am clocked out unless you're going to pay me. But I'm not working for free. She has been called hard to work with because she is standing on her own two feet, like a Maya, right? And a few other people in the industry. And that has put a poor taste in her perception, or the perception that people have of her. People may see her as someone who's hard to work with because she's not just going along to get along. She is someone who's going to stand in her own. And unfortunately, that does not look right, or it does not get enough credit in the industry. So she got blackballed. Monique got blackballed for quite some time. Oprah is someone who was also behind the blackball because she was coercing her to continue with the promotions despite the contractual obligation that Monique was only obligated to follow. So, you know, Oprah, when she had her talk show, she had very interesting guests on, from ex-convicts to abusers to victims, whomever. Oprah had on Monique's family on her show without the approval, without the consent of Monique. And this obviously threw Monique for a loop, because learning that Monique is actually not close with her family and she hasn't been close with them for quite some time really said a lot about the intention, the evil intention, that I would say evil it is, of Oprah to still go about such behavior just to get this sensation on her talk show. So I want us to go ahead and watch this quick clip of Oprah, not of Oprah, of Monique talking about this with Club Shay Shay.
Same way about you.
How could she? How could she? What have I taken from Oprah? When did I have Oprah's mother and father on my show? Mm-hmm. When did I have anybody come and speak about Oprah Winfrey on the Monique show? That's never happened. So how could she feel that?
Would you have done that?
Had her family on?
Yeah.
Let me tell you how we operate. When we had the Monique show, there was a comedian on there.
Now, I love the Monique show too. I was really a fan of Monique. I am. I still am. But I really want to emphasize how much I appreciated her work in the industry. I really supported it. I was so in tune with it. It was exciting. She was funny. She was engaging. She had a great presence about herself. And for quite some time after the Precious situation, she was not getting enough exposure in roles and any credit at all. And that really rubbed me the wrong way. I was totally not okay with that. And I called Oprah myself. I'm like, what? I'm sorry, y'all. It's been a long week, it feels like. But anyway, Oprah is not real.
Mm-hmm. And he was trying to joke T.I.'s wife, Tiny. My husband walked out in the middle of his set. He said, cut. He said, brother, we don't do that here. We uplift our folks. Mm-hmm. We don't play that. So no, I would not have done that. When Oprah Winfrey had my family, and I'll tell y'all, and I'm looking around, baby, because there are people here.
Yes.
Okay, and I don't want to be rude to the people at Shay Shay's club. You got other people in the club, mm-hmm. right? When Oprah Winfrey called me up and she said, I got a call from your brother. And this is after I won the Oscar award, mm-hmm. right? And your brother wants to come on the show and he wants to apologize to you for molesting you. And he wants to tell other people how to look out for a predator.
Right.
Okay. Now let's, I'm sorry. What? Did you hear that? So Oprah said Monique's brother wants to come on Oprah's show and apologize for molesting Monique. And he wants to give tips on what to look out for of a molester. So you too won't get molested like he did to Monique. I'm sorry, what?
I said, Oprah, I said, I don't want anything to do with that cat. I said, but, and then she said, well, if you want me to scratch the show, I will scratch it. I said, sis, don't scratch it because he could be a different person. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to get in the way if that cat is a different person. I just don't want no parts of it.
Right.
But here's the thing. I certainly do remember when this episode came on. Because I used to watch Oprah as well. I watch TV. And I was like, what? Because so often we don't hear the molester saying, yes, I did molest this young girl or this young boy. We don't hear that. So when Oprah was given a whole hour to this admitted molester, I was tuned in. I was very tuned in. It was disturbing. And maybe this is another conversation for another time. But you notice how Monique said, look, I'm not going to tell you not have him on. That's not my place. Thank you for letting me know. But, you know, I don't want any part of that. And look, he may be a different person now. Let's just hear that real quick again.
And I don't want to get in the way if that cat is a different person.
There we go.
I just don't want no parts of it.
Right.
So there's that conversation. Can we just talk about that real quick? There's that conversation. Hello? Is the mic on? Can we have this conversation or is it, can we, should we just nip it for Patreon? There's that conversation of, can the molester no longer be the molester? Can someone change when they do something so heinous, so disturbing, so life-altering, so traumatic as molest a child? You know, is there a one-time molester? Oh, I just had to, you know, like, is there a one-time molester? Statistically, no. Statistically, no. That word is hard. My God, shit is sharp. Now skip. I don't know. I gotta stew on that. I have to stew on that because it hits home for me. So I don't know yet, but I don't know if I want to say hope. I will hope it's a one-time offense. I don't know. You know, people are so quick to say, oh, well, we got to put them all in island and burn the island down. You'll be surprised at who's invited to the island. You'll be surprised. Men, women alike. You'll be surprised. Let's move on. So she says this. She says, look, I don't want to get in the way. If he's a different person now, if he has children of his own, if he's, you know, an upstanding citizen now, why should I get in the way of that? I mean, maybe there is some level of commendable action in that, because we, in the society, we accept the victim to be outright with his or her response and aggressive in their anger. And, well, he has every right to feel that way because he was molested, he was victimized, she was victimized, yada, yada, you know what I mean? So that is always encouraged. But it's not always we see the victim slash survivor say, hey, I don't want to get in the way of the person being a changed man.
Okay. Mm-hmm. When I hung up that phone, Shannon, I was like, I appreciate that sister. Like, she didn't have to call me.
She
didn't have to call me and say, I'm going to have your brother.
Right.
I start seeing commercials with my mother and my father and my other brother who used to be my manager, mm-hmm. who knew the fear that I had with the brother that was up on stage, right? Right? Mm-hmm. We never talked about my mother being there.
She never told you that.
You know how you feel about your grandparents?
Yes, absolutely.
You know the honor and the how.
So let's pause right there. So she learned it wasn't just her brother who was gonna be on the show. It was actually, in fact, her entire family. My God, today. Her entire family, whom she's estranged. She is not close with her family. Her mother, her father, her other siblings. I guess maybe just that one brother whom was her manager. But other than that, she was not close with anyone else. And she finds out from the commercials, the upcoming commercials, that all of them will be on Oprah. Hey! Yeah, Oprah needs to go to hell. Yeah, Oprah needs to go to hell. And it's not even on the sole reason of Oprah having Monique's brother who molested her. That's not even the sole reason why. It's the fact that she had on Monique's mother, to whom she's not close, and learning from this interview, Monique and her mother, they have a very strange, distant relationship. She used the word greedy when it comes to describing her mom. And it just makes me wonder, throughout the time of Monique being molested, I think she did speak to her mom about it. She told her mom, as one would, and her mom was not at all supportive. Her mom did not come to her aid. Her mom did not protect her. Her mom ridiculed her. Her mom was not there for her. So Monique, rightfully so, has every reason to not be close with her family. I mean, if we could think of one reason why you wouldn't be close with your family, I think that would be it. That would be it to me. And I hate that this experience of Monique is not unique to her. This is something that has happened over the years in so many different families, Black, white, Hispanic. Like, abuse knows no color. It's not exclusive to one demographic. It is for everybody. It's a gift for all. Like, what? No, but it's for everybody. It is. And so this right here was the tipping point that Monique had, and that really hurt her or rubbed her the wrong way. Because why would you have my mother on, and my mother has never supported me. My mother has never been on my side. My mother has never held or shown any accountability ever. Yet, at least for the brother who molested me, at least he said he was gonna apologize on the show and give some tips on why, on how you could not be molested. Like, I'm sorry, what? So at least that, which is still, the bar is to hell, but at least you have that. But to have on the mother who was always a hater, was always unsupportive, was always a victim blamer to Monique, to have her on the show, that was enough. That was enough. So that really rubbed Monique the wrong way. Rightfully so, understandably so. And let's just hear what else we got to say.
You speak about them.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine you then seeing your granddaddy and your grandmama on a show, and they're talking about somebody that violated you, and that woman didn't tell you that they were going to be there. How would you feel?
I would feel like you felt betrayed.
That is exactly how I felt and how I feel. And it's not, oh, I'm in a, no, I understand it. But you betrayed me, sister. And I'm not the only one.
Because at the time when she called you, she.
God, at the time when she called you. Come on, Skip. I'm joking in love. You know, I'm saying this in love. You know, it's funny. It's funny. It's a joke. It's a joke. Anyway, so there we have it. Monique still has it up for Oprah. It's on site. Until Oprah could stand on the fact that, hey, maybe that was a shitty ass move I did, and I apologize, maybe Monique will let it go. Not maybe. I think she would let it go. Because we actually see recently that Charlamagne the God came forward and said he was wrong. So remember the time when Monique was she was in the running for being on Netflix, and she was going to be, well, she was given a special and they gave her the contract for it, and she's looking at the salary or the pay for it, and she's like, let me just do my investigation before I sign this off. And she noticed that her white counterparts are getting 26% more than she is. Yet, Monique said the Netflix execs were describing her as a legend. We would love to have you on, you know, praising her, but you're paying me less than this white comedian who y'all didn't describe as a legend as you are me. That's a problem. So Monique went on her campaign to boycott Netflix. And this was a debate for quite some time on social media. Is Monique deserving of more money? You know, should she just be happy and shut up and, you know, just be happy to be here? You're fat and Black and you're ugly. You know how people be saying stuff like that? I don't think Monique's ugly at all. So just clear that up. But people say stuff like that. Just be happy you're here. Just shut up. Stop rocking the boat. Stop. You got money. But it takes people like Monique to impact change. Because she says all the time if she doesn't speak up, then who's going to do so for the next person, the next person, the next person? We just saw Taraji P. Henson talking about she only got paid $12,000, $6,000, or 12, like less than her counterparts. Okay. That's just the point here. It's not about how much we think they are deserving. It's about fairness. And if I'm doing the same amount of work and I have the history of impact in the box office, people come out to see me. My work ethic is there. I could do the job. I'm very talented. Why am I still getting paid less than my counterpart who has less history than me, or we match? Why am I still getting paid less? And, you know, I came back on here, you know, and I bit my words, but, you know, I think we are all allowed to evolve and change our minds and realize through further research and investigation that, hey, I have a difference of opinion now. And I totally agree. You know, we have to still stand on what's fair. And regardless of where you are in your own life, you know, us regular folk who are not making millions or anything that's necessarily close to that, I think this is still a principle that we should all be mindful of and we should all take seriously, because it still shows up in different facets of our life. So if you're in your regular 9-to-5 job and you have your degrees, you have your history, you are impactful in the workplace, yet you learn that Gregory, who happens to be white, I'm not trying to make the whole race card, but just to make a point, historically, it's been a point that has been made. Gregory's making much more than you. But Gregory just got college. Oh, he's making more because he knows the boss, or the boss is friends with his father. You know, so anyway, I say all this to say, Monique is needed, and there is much inspiration that we all could take away from her in any aspect of our life. So regardless if you are in the industry as she is or not, you can still find some level of inspiration from Monique. So I say all this to say, shout out to Monique. Now, let's talk about D.L. Hughley, because, oh, gosh, I hate to see them be at it with each other. It really is disappointing because I enjoyed D.L. Hughley in the past. As of late, though, you know, since I've shifted political gears, you know, at one point in my life, I was a Democrat. I was a staunch, you know, vote blue no matter who. Stupid. And, you know, I've seen the light. I've seen the red MAGA light. Here I am, Trump 2024. I'm deadass. Right? Anyway, the point is, where was I going with this? Oh my gosh. Ah, I forgot. I've got my train of thought. Yikes. Anyway, the point is, oh, D.L. Hughley. Okay. So D.L. Hughley, Monique, they have had some beef for some years now. What I do like about Monique, but what is sometimes exhausting, though, she is someone who won't let you forget what you said. She won't let it go. She's not just going to let it, you know, roll under the rug. But understanding where she came from and the trauma she experienced, this is not surprising behavior. Because for someone to have had been sexually abused by her own brother, someone who has had a strange relationship with her mother, whom was not supportive, whom was not at all a protector in her life. She was also not close with her father. Her father had preferential treatment amongst her siblings. Monique was actually the only child who was of a bigger frame. So all of that psychologically is a lot. Monique's probably feeling like, you know, well, I don't fit in here. My mother doesn't love me. My father doesn't love me. My brother's, you know, it just, that is crazy. That's a lot to process. So just imagine as a child, all of the things that she's seen, that she's experienced that were just strong examples of injustice. She would become an adult who holds you to your word. She would become an adult who would say, you know, that's not right. Who's going to speak out and say something? She's not going to be in a corner because she's been in a corner for too long in her childhood. This is her speaking up for herself time and time again, because obviously no one spoke up for her. No one supported her when she was younger. So I support her, child. I support her. And I hate that her and D.L. Hughley are at it. I don't want to repeat what D.L. Hughley said, because I just think it's so cheap. I think it's cheap when comedians make fun of someone's appearance. And it's cheap because that's obvious, right? Obviously, Monique is bigger frame, but let's not get it twisted. Monique is a beautiful woman, okay? Like, let's stop it. She is beautiful. She has lost weight as well. She was much bigger than, and I don't want to say much bigger because that sounds like she's still this. No, if y'all remember how she looked when she came out, y'all, she was big. She was big. Now, Monique is good. Like, I know, like, in society, there's like a technical weight limit. When you overpass it, you are considered obese. I don't know if it's still considered that way for her size. I don't know her exact size now, but nonetheless, she is looking good. She looks good. Okay. She looks really good for her age. Well, just period. Let me not even say for her. She looks very good. She's well fit. You can tell she obviously works out. There are so many videos of her working out and having so much energy. She looks good. Let's cut it out. So sure, she's not ever gonna be this like pinky frame type of woman, because that's not how not everyone's supposed to look the same. I know we're living in this cookie cutter society in which everyone has the same BBLs, everyone got the same pigeon legs. I'm sorry, that's not how we were designed. That's not how God built us. It's not. So anyway, Monique looks good. D.L. Hughley decided to respond to something that Monique said on Club Shay Shay's podcast. And she talked about a time when she was on D.L.'s show, which no longer is a show. I remember watching that show too. Yes, I watch a lot of I watch TV. I already know what show you're watching because I watched it. Like, that's how much I watch TV. She was on a show and she's married to her husband. His name is Sidney Hicks. He is someone who may not instantly give this strong or this like this straight masculine figure, I think, which is unfortunate, but I don't know. I don't really think he's gay. I don't know. But I mean, I don't think he's gay. But the point is, he is quick to receive soft jokes. You see what I'm saying? You get what I'm going with this? Anyway, so she got a question while she was on the show. The question was, would you be okay if your husband had sex with Lee Daniels with a condom, or had sex with Corinne Steffens without a condom? If y'all don't, what kind of, like, it's just so silly. Like, it's silly, it's dumb, and it's lowbrow. There's a lot of cheap podcasts out here, and by cheap, I mean the way the conversation is being had, there's a lack of intellect. So I would expect this question for a conversation or for a podcast like that. But for D.L. Hughley to be someone who is very articulate, he communicates his points very cleverly. For him to be, he wasn't on the show, actually. He was absent. So that was still strange. Why would Monique be there without DL there? Anyway, they asked this, and apparently that's a culture at their show. So Monique was offended, rightfully so. And you know what's funny about her? She's very sensitive. And it's funny in an ironic way. That's what I mean by funny. It's funny because she's a comedian, Period. She's a comedian. And you would think a comedian would be someone who can handle a joke or who could let it roll off her shoulder. No, my sweet baby. Seriously, no, that is not the case with her. She is someone who would allow herself to feel hurt. She's not going to laugh it off just to laugh it off and make things comfortable. No, it's something that she would still feel hurt about. And that's understandable. So she was hurt by it. Well, she was offended by it. She ended up calling DL and was like, this is what your cast is asking me. Like, what's this about? And he's like, yeah, this is my show. This is how it is. It's not a big deal. Like, he was basically dismissing her feelings. And that didn't go over too well. She said, this better not air on TV. She got her lawyers to send a cease and desist. Yes. And it never was shown. I've not seen any footage of that show, of that episode. So it was truly cut off. Since then, Monique and D.L. Hughley have not been friends. Okay. So he gets on his phone with his gray ass long beard looking like the KFC guy, Colonel. And he's saying how, you know, if your own family doesn't love you, then something's wrong with you. How come I never see you with your family? How come I never see? And he's saying that in the sense of not only her family that she was born in, but her family that she gave birth to. And I feel like, nigga, shut the fuck up. First of all, aren't you known for not believing your daughter when she came forward and said, hey, so-and-so molested me? Yeah. Who was a friend of D.L. Hughley, and he said himself that he didn't want to even say that. I really do. But I think at some point there needs to be a level of accountability. Just say, hey, I'm sorry. I didn't mean for you to be offended by this joke that was said to you on my show in my absence. Please accept my apology. Let's move on. Why does it have to be this like... You're too grown. You're a whole man. And you're speaking in a way that's just so lazy and cheap. He then talks about her weight as if she is still this obese woman. And again, like I said, when she came out initially in her career, she was bigger. But her size now, she looks good. She looks really good. She lost a lot of weight. She's clearly healthy. I could make that assessment. She's healthy. She's good. Shout out to Wendy Williams. She's not good. Oh, Lord. Bless her, God. All right, you guys, I'm going to end it here. Thanks so much for listening. Make sure you are liking this video on YouTube. You have shared it with a friend. You are leaving a positive review. Hence the word positive. Of course, make it genuine. I'm not trying to force you. But if you enjoyed this podcast so far and this episode so far, please, please, please leave a review on Spotify especially. I'm not seeing enough reviews on Spotify. I do have good amount of reviews on Apple Podcasts, but the more the merrier. I want to have more. Give me 100 reviews. Hundreds of reviews. I haven't counted Apple Podcasts entirely, but it could be more. And shout out to my subscriber count on YouTube. We are at 113 last time I checked. What? Oh my gosh. That's amazing. Could you be 120? Could you be the 120th subscriber? Let's go. If you have yet to subscribe, what are we doing? Hello? Are we friends? What's going on? I've entertained you. I need you to subscribe. Okay. All right. I'll end it here. Thanks so much for listening, and I will check in with you all next time.